The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Dude, I'm telling you, anybody who's like wanting to get out, and I know now I saw today like a reopen North Carolina is trending. And I'm like, dude, everyone wants to get out and start this thing up before it's time. And it just feels like there's going to be a lot of regret.
Well, I understand it. I think people are panicking. We've got more job loss than we've ever had. People are having to take pay cuts and do all kinds of things. And I think they're looking at it and going, I can't do this much longer. And I get that. I understand that panic. But the reality is, if you go back too soon and then we have to do this again.
Right.
Then what was then that's where the real...
In the first place.
Right. Everything we've lost, I mean, the damage is done. Going back now isn't going to fix it because... The economy is not going to come back in a month if we all start going back to doing stuff.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is the real, at the producer Nick. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. All available on podcastarena.com, or will be shortly, in the case of the 5 o'clock hour. Lots of good stuff. We had Jerome Solomon. We talked a little poker. We talked a little bit of everything. So it's all available, and go check it out if you missed it. But wait till this hour's over, because we have a lot of other good stuff for you. And always a pleasure to work with Nick Sherrara. Nick, appreciate you jumping in and working with us again. You know,
fun times.
You're a made guy, so it's easy, but it's always good to have you, man.
Fun times. Thank you, sir.
One of my favorite things about leading up to draft week are all these rumors that start coming out to try to get teams to, you know, make deals. So I'll ask you this one, AJ. How realistic is this? Report. Lions could take quarterback with number 3 overall pick.
That'd be... Like a surprise level 1 to 10, that would be about a 8 for me.
I agree. And, you know, to me, this is the kind of thing that basically teams that are picking, say, 5, say, 7, that think they're going to get a quarterback, you leak this so that they'll trade up and take your pick.
Yeah.
Because I would guess the Lions want to trade down.
Sure. I would guess the Lions either want to trade down or they want Chase Young.
And he's not going to be there at 3.
No. I mean, unless two teams jump up to get quarterbacks. Like if
right.
There's two teams that are desperate for a quarterback, then that's a possibility. And that's why I think that's why the Redskins have floated out the possibility that they would take a quarterback.
Yeah, I think for the same reason. But in the Lions' case, I think this is... You know, the best bluff that you craft is one that, you know, you're telling a story that makes sense. What if, hey, you know what? We think Tua may need a year. We still have Matt Stafford. Would make kind of sense, right? I mean, I don't think they would do it, but that would, it's not like you look at it and say, okay, that's ridiculous. If you're going to keep Matt Stafford for one more year and then make a decision, if, because I think a lot of teams, without having the medicals, are going to view Tua as next year kind of guy.
Yeah.
And it would kind of make sense, right?
Yeah. But I don't know. I still feel like I still feel like Matt Stafford's – I mean, and look at what he did last year. He's on a bad team, and he continues to put up good numbers. I think Matt Stafford's not – I don't know that he's a guy who's ever going to take the Lions where they want to get, but I don't think it's his fault that they are where they are. You know what I mean?
I think he's kind of a lesser Phillip Rivers.
That's probably fair.
In that
that's probably fair. I mean, he's a he's a much better than average quarterback. And right. it's not crazy to think about what could be if Matt Stafford would have been on a team other than the Lions his entire career.
Well, we always talk about it. So much of quarterback success comes down to where they land, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like when as soon as the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes, I did a complete 180 on him. I'm like, all right, this is perfect. They've got Alex Smith. He's going to sit there and learn under Andy Reid. And I think the guy has a chance to be very successful now. And it worked out. Now, you know, if he'd gone to the Browns, I don't know if he'd be Patrick Mahomes.
I don't either.
I think he'd be better than Baker Mayfield, but, you know, so much of it's the situation. And the Lions have just never – I mean, yeah, they had Calvin Johnson. But other than that, he's just never had a team around him. And, see, now, if they really wanted to move him, that's a guy you put on the Patriots. I think you see a totally different player.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe that's something that if the Lions are serious about that, then maybe the Patriots should be on the phone with them.
I think I would be.
Chargers should be on the phone with them.
Well, yeah, the Chargers should, but I don't know if the Chargers quite know what they're doing. They don't seem to have a plan. But
I say that, but there's also the reality of Matt Stafford makes a ton of money, and it's not like you can just bring him on. Like, it's no big deal. There's a lot of money attached to that.
Well, he does, but compared to a lot of other guys now, for what you get from him, it's not ridiculous. And now, I mean, he's basically, his cap hit is $21 million this year.
Okay. Well, that's not bad for a pretty high-end quarterback.
Now, if you cut him, his dead money is $32 million because of all the
right.
signing bonus.
But if you trade him.
Yeah, you still have to eat some of that. But next year, his cap number goes up to $33 million, and the dead money is only $19 million.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
in 2022, it's $26 million, his cap number, with a $6 million cap dead cap hit. So it's not onerous. Now, the Patriots have no cap room. They would have to make some kind of moves.
Right. But that's not crazy to think that they would do for a quarterback.
Yeah.
But the Patriots have also been spoiled by not having to pay a quarterback top-end money for a long time.
Yeah, and I just get the sense Belichick has a lot of O'Brien in him. The only difference is he has pelts on the wall.
Right.
I get the impression he thinks he can throw a Brian Hoyer out there and win if he has to, or Jared Stidham, and that his system is so good that he can do that.
Well, he'll learn.
Yeah, I mean,
one way or the other, he'll learn.
It's one thing to do one season with Matt Cassel when you had an elite defense and some really good players around him, or to have, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo win a couple games for you here and there, or Jacoby Brissett, especially when he's playing the Texans. It's another thing to go a full season like that when you don't have the talent around there that you used to have. I mean, there's no question. And they were really good on defense for most of the season last year. They wore down a little bit. I think they'll be really good on defense again. But if they are and they can't score, then are they really a threat?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't either. But anyway, that just kind of occurred to me that if, hey, you know what? Good old New England might not be a bad idea if you really did draft a quarterback and wanted to move Matt Stafford. Now, he was hurt last year. That's a little bit of a concern, but boy.
But even when he was healthy, he was putting up big numbers.
Oh yeah, he was playing great before he got hurt, and
it's the first time he's been hurt.
Yeah,
like he's been the picture of durability before that. So I don't think that he's a guy that you've got to worry about long term over injuries.
No, although you know he's getting up there a little bit, and that's always but that's going to be a concern with any quarterback of a certain age, you know. But I always like guys who have been able to get their whole career without getting beat up really badly. And, you know, I always say part of being an elite quarterback is being able to stay on the field. That's why Russell Wilson's so good. I mean, that's why Philip Rivers has been good for so long. You know, Drew Brees, I mean, those guys stay on the field.
Yep.
And Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, I mean, you can, you know, count on one hand how many games that they miss over the course of, you know, a 5 or 6 year stretch. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why, like, as good as Big Ben's been, now he's been getting hurt a little bit. You wonder if, you know, that's going to be an issue with him. But man, I think I can't see, unless they've just decided, okay, you know what, we can find a trade partner for Matt Stafford, maybe get the Patriots' first round pick. We're going to draft Tua, and hey, if the season doesn't start on time, that's more time for him to heal.
Yep.
But, you know, I kind of feel like the Patriots have to have a plan, right? There has to be something like that where they're going to catch us off guard and say, oh, the Patriots traded for Matt Stafford or somebody like that.
I would think so, but, I mean, the Patriots also are a team that they trust their drafting process and they trust their evaluation on guys, and they've found guys like Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett in late rounds. And no matter what you think of those two guys in particular, teams have valued them enough to pay them franchise quarterback money. So they can find these guys. And it wouldn't shock me if they've got a guy in mind that they think they'll have a shot at here.
Well, Garoppolo was a second-round pick, so that's not really a late-round pick. But
that's true.
But, yeah, they got –
But, I mean, it's not a first-rounder.
No, but he was a guy who – a lot of people thought the Texans should have taken with their pick that they took the offensive lineman with. It didn't work out.
Xavier Suofilo?
Yeah, Suofilo, yeah.
Well, that's
I think
where
that was the
saying,
same draft, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
mistaken.
It might have been. That's the one where I was saying they should take Derek Carr. Were they in the same draft?
Well, yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure they were. And Carr went early second round, and Garoppolo went later. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. All right, 713-780-ESPN is the number, 713-780-3776. We still have three segments and plenty of stuff to get to, so let's go ahead and take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So can I do this other story that was going to be one of the gems just to... because I think it's funny.
All right.
Well, first off, keep in mind this is a French fighter jet. And we know how, frankly, French fighter anything is an oxymoron. But apparently last March, according to a French government report, a 64-year-old man at a French defense contractor was given special approval to ride along in the twin seat of a Dassault Rafale B fighter jet on a training exercise. He had never expressed interest in doing so and was terrified but did not want to disappoint his coworkers. Investigators found that the passenger's smartwatch that his heart rate was at 136 to 142 beats per minute before he boarded the flight. So he's scared spitless. And ordinarily, it takes 10 days. You have to get a medical examination, and it takes 10 days if you're going to do this. Yeah, they did it 4 hours before. So you'll never guess what happened. He freaked out while the plane was in the air, gripped an object in the cockpit that happened to be the ejector seat.
Oh, no.
So, despite losing his helmet and ejecting at 2,500 feet, he landed on the ground near the German border without sustaining serious injury. The report mentions his face showed traces left by pyrotechnic powder residue. The pilot safely landed the jet despite suffering some bruises to his face. So, basically, they force this guy to get in a fighter jet, and he freaks out and accidentally ejects at 2,500 feet. But he lived, so there's that.
Hey.
So, you know, I would love to do something like that, but if it were one of those things that I was scared to death of, I'm not getting on the plane. I'm not worried about, oh, am I going to upset my friends? Am I going to look like a coward? No, I'm getting my ass on the plane. I'm not getting on the plane, I mean.
That's the way I am, too. But, well, people are, they do stupid. There's bad choices made every day, Fred. You know this.
Well, yeah. I mean, like people holding parties and stuff and, you know, when we're not supposed to be doing that. Or, you know, doing iRacing and dropping the N-word.
Yeah.
I mean, people make bad decisions.
Not a good choice.
No. Hey, did you... You went and saw Paul McCartney last time he was here, right?
I did, at Minute Maid.
Did you see that he had a set of notes when he was writing Hey Jude, and it went up for auction?
No.
It sold for $910,000.
Ooh.
It's just a piece of paper, has the opening line of each of the songs, four verses and two bridges, and the word break after the first verse, and then ending, fading. That's pretty much it. And they estimated its value between $160,000 and $180,000, and it sold for
$910,000. Damn. Well, that's not really a surprise to me. I mean, that's if you're a music, you know, historian, that's probably a pretty valuable piece of memorabilia to have.
Well, I mean, think about, you know, handwritten notes for songs like that, which most guys don't even do anymore because they're just typing stuff in. But there's not many songs that you would pay more for than that one, right?
No.
I mean, maybe Stairway to Heaven?
Maybe, but even then, like, anything Beatles is going to have more value because they were around so much, so, you know, long before.
But is there a Beatles song that you think would be worth more than that? Than Hey Jude? Let It Be, maybe?
Maybe Let It Be.
That's the only one I could think of.
I mean, there's like the... I mean, it depends. Like, of the Beatles music that I loved, it's probably Hey Jude or maybe like Let It Be or Come Together. But like, you got to remember, I Want to Hold Your Hand and She Loves You. Those were like massive hits to really kind of a different audience. So
right.
Depending on which Beatles audience you're trying to hit, but I would say for the more like the less poppy Beatles audience, then yeah, that's probably the biggest one.
And, well, to me, that was the best Beatles. Is, you know, I mean, She Loves You was great, but it was
once they found LSD is when they became
exactly
legends.
The other thing that I could think of, and it wasn't Beatles, but I wonder if you had something like that for Imagine. Especially with Lennon dead.
Yeah. Or, like, if you had something like that from Elvis. But Elvis didn't really write his own song, so it wouldn't be as big of a deal.
And that's the thing. That's one of the things that made the Beatles so great, is they had four guys who could write songs.
Yeah.
And, you know. 713-780-ESPN. I have a Mel Kiper prediction for you.
Okay.
He predicts that the Miami Dolphins, and this is assuming that the Lions don't trade or all that stuff that we were talking about earlier, he predicts the Dolphins will draft Justin Herbert over Tua.
Ooh, that would be erroneous if you asked me.
What, you don't believe everything Mel Kiper says?
I mean, listen, I don't know. I mean, Mel Kiper knows more than I do, certainly.
Did he know more than you when he had Jimmy Clausen as the seventh best prospect in the draft?
No, I knew better than him on that day. I knew that he was wrong on that one. But I'm sure that you could find 100 examples of me being high on a guy that he said suck. He doesn't really say guys suck very often. That's me. I usually think guys suck, and I don't really know who's going to be good, but I can usually pick out the guys I think are going to be crappy. This isn't me saying that Mel Kiper's right or wrong about what the Chargers might do. I think that'd be an erroneous move on the Chargers' part. If the Chargers think that Justin Herbert is better than Tua, I think they are mistaken.
Well,
I'm a guy who I actually like Justin Herbert for what he is. I see Justin Herbert as a sort of a Stafford-y kind of guy. maybe not as good as Stafford, but I feel like that's kind of the you know who I kind of think he reminds me of is Joe Flacco. And okay. You know, Joe Flacco was a solid quarterback for a long time. Had he not been on, he had not gone on that crazy Super Bowl run, would anybody have ever considered him a great quarterback? No. There was actually people who thought that he would be, his career would be a disappointment if he didn't have that Super Bowl. But I think that's kind of, Justin Herbert reminds me a lot of Joe Flacco.
Okay. It's not a bad Joe Flacco before he got his contract.
Well, yeah, but I just mean like his skill set coming in is it reminds me a little bit of Joe Flacco's. Big arm, although, you know, not the most accurate guy in the world. You know, big
Flacco
body.
Was more
NFL
mobile
body.
Than he got credit for, though. Which I think I think that's fair because Herbert is too. I think both, you know, he's a little more mobile than people realize. I don't think he's just a statue back there.
Well, I think Tua is a much stronger, much more NFL ready player. Again, if the medical stuff scares you off, totally get it. It makes sense to be scared off by that. But otherwise, I don't think if you know all things health wise are equal, I don't think there's any doubt that Tua is a better prospect. And I'll be honest, man, if I'm the Chargers, you're the second fiddle in your own town. You need a freaking star, you know. And Tua's, I mean, got way more star power already. And his style of play, I think, is going to be more fun. That's a guy who can maybe put some butts in seats. And the Chargers, I normally don't think teams should draft based on that. But in this case, where I think that Tua's the better player, and I know he's got more star power, to me, it's almost nonsensical. If you take Herbert.
Well, and, you know, we talked about this the other day, the huge Polynesian population in that area. I mean, that it's just a no-brainer. I mean, that would put a lot of butts in the seats, which they need to do. And it wouldn't take much to be first fiddle in that city, because even with the Rams' success, not like they won the whole place over.
Nope.
832 says Lance Erline's comp for Herbert is Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah, that's generous if you ask me.
Yeah.
Again, Lance knows more than I do.
Yeah, and, I mean, this is what he does. But he can be wrong. It's happened. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hello! To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Only two segments left in the entire show. So, A.J., is there something we haven't got to that you wanted to get to? I know. They've been flying by.
Are you surprised at that?
I am a little bit because
I thought the shows would drag more.
I did too, but really they haven't. And I mean, in studio they rarely drag, but I can't remember one that we've done since we started doing this where I was like, okay, this is starting to drag. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we've adjusted well, sir. Maybe that's all it is. So is there something we...
Did you see that the scout for the Astros, David Brito, is auctioning off his World Series ring?
I did see that.
What
do you think that'll go for?
It says here, and it's not the same one that they give players or management. So I guess the players and the managers and the upper brass in the organization get the big time baller ring, and then there's a ring that's given down to scouts and, you know, the people that work in the front offices, like the I'm sure Jeff Luno's secretary and people like that, they get this secondary ring, which they say is valued at $10,000.
Wow.
And obviously there are a lot of collectors who would be interested in this. It's the first 2017 World Series ring to go on the market, but it says that it could fetch between $20,000 and $60,000.
Wow.
So
I wonder if some rich Dodgers fan would buy it just so they could like melt it down or something.
I don't think so. That'd be pretty ridiculous. But especially in a time like this, be like, people would be on their ass about, dude, there's better money spent than that.
Oh, but, well, it's not rich people. Rich people buy whatever. They don't care.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I always feel like it's a bad look if you auction off or sell something like that. But, you know, I guess it's their property. They do with it what you want. But it's just not exactly a great look. I would hope that players and, you know, the GMs and stuff, they've got enough money where it doesn't make sense for them to sell theirs. Well, now we've seen athletes have falls from grace where they do end up having to sell their stuff, and it's always unfortunate. But I feel bad when players have to do it because that's like a real – it's a lifetime achievement for them. You know, it's something that they probably dreamed about when they were children. And they got there, and it's a shame if they end up having to sell it. But for a scout, I don't know what kind of money this dude makes. I don't know what kind of needs his family has. I guess I can't really blame him.
Well, and especially now. I mean, who knows? I mean, he's probably not working. He's probably not getting paid. You know, that can carry you for 6 to 8 months easy if you get enough money for it.
Yeah.
So.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're good.
I was going to say, in football news, a name that we haven't talked much about as far as quarterbacks that could be drafted, but apparently a lot of teams still in touch and monitoring Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts, including the Packers, the Chargers, the Cowboys, and the Raiders. What do you think? And someone asked us earlier, what's the what it would he be a fit for the Patriots? And I replied to that guy and said, I don't think he would, because the concern about Jalen Hurts is his ability to go deep. And we saw what the Patriots were last year when the deep game was basically non-existent. If it's predictable that you can't go deep, then, you know, you're probably not going to have a lot of success at intermediate stuff, no matter how good you are at it. But Jalen Hurts is a guy that I'm not crazy about. But there's going to be somebody that takes a chance on him, whether it be second, third, fourth round. This is interesting to me. The fact that teams like especially teams like the Packers, who obviously are set at quarterback for the foreseeable future, it's hard to imagine they're gonna move on from him. He's got 4 years to go on his contract. And then the Cowboys, who, you know, we've been saying they should look at a long-term replacement for Dak. And then the Chargers and the Raiders. The Raiders have talked about moving on from Carr. They've got, you know, question marks with what they're going to be. The Chargers have the most question marks, really, outside the Patriots, of what they're going to be at quarterback, even though they try to say they're comfortable with Tyrod Taylor. I don't believe that. Not if they want to win. But where do you think a good fit is for Jalen Hurts?
Well, I think if he lands in the right place, he's a guy who can be a running quarterback who's big enough. Like, and now he's not the player Cam Newton was. Let me make that real clear. But he could be a lot like Cam was running the football, in that he can take some punishment. And I think he throws well enough. I think he's a Jacoby Brissett who's a better runner.
Okay.
And George says Mel Kiper has him going to Pittsburgh in the second round. I actually think that would be a pretty good landing spot. Backing up Big Ben, and if you wind up having to play, I think that's a huge upgrade over Duck Dodgers and the other clowns they threw out there. But, yeah, I think in the right offense, if you use him right with a good coaching staff, you could get a lot out of him. And no, he's not going to be great throwing the deep ball, but he throws the short and intermediate passes pretty well with a lot more accuracy than I think he gets credit for. And his running style is, I mean, he's such a big, strong guy. I think you wouldn't mind him running the ball. And, you know, because even with Lamar Jackson, you worry that guy's going to take a pop at some point and die. I don't think you have that concern with Jalen Hurts. He's got more Tebow in him running the football than those guys did. So I don't hate him. And I think in the right place, he'd be a good fit. I don't know that I think you want to draft him as a starter right away because he's got a lot to learn. But, you know what would be a good place for him?
Yeah.
Backing up Tom Brady in Tampa Bay.
I don't disagree with that either.
And sit for a couple years and learn from Bruce Arians, and I think you might have something there. But I would also understand if I'm
the Bucks, they're probably like Tom Brady didn't come there for you to build a future behind him. Like Tom Brady went there because he wants them to build a team that can win now, give him a chance to win now, and I think that's what Patriots or what Bucks fans are expecting.
Well, I know you're not using a first round pick on him, but second or third round, I could see it. I mean, you have to look to the future, and plus that's a guy you can use in some packages where he's not playing quarterback, and if you get creative, which Bruce Arians can be. Yeah, I don't think Brady would mind that. I think that's a guy who could be a pretty good weapon for you if you use him right. And, you know, I think that would be an ideal fit because in 2 years you'll know if he's your guy or not. And if he's not, then okay, you can draft another guy.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to use a first-round pick on him, I wouldn't think, under any circumstances. Somebody does that, it's just dumb.
Right.
But
they get what they deserve.
We've seen dumb before, so.
Yep. Well, and there's a lot of guys who thought that taking Lamar Jackson in the first round was crazy.
See, I think where they took him made sense. It's not like you invested a top 10 pick in him.
Yeah, and I think so too. And now you've got a fifth-year option on him, and especially because it hit. You know, like if you can take a quarterback late in the first round, and you can, I mean, that gives you a lot of flexibility. Either way, if he's a failure or he's a success. If he's a success, you've got that fifth-year option, and you've got a guy who you're not paying number one overall money. You've got some real nice flexibility. And if he isn't a hit, it's not that punitive to move on from him. You know, you don't feel like, oh, my God, we just get – and the Ravens, their situation was a little different because they traded back up into the first round to get him.
Right.
But when you consider they're going to get a fifth year of Lamar Jackson at a below-market rate, it's a good move. But that's something that is, I think, a good idea for teams to do. If you're a team, I'd rather take a quarterback with the last pick of the first round than the first pick of the second round by far, because you get that fifth year of control.
Yeah, if you hit on him, and
right.
If you don't,
and it's not that much more punitive if you don't hit on him.
Right, because you know, the success rate for the 32nd pick of the first round at any position isn't as high as people think. So, I could see him being, if he lands in the right spot, I could see him being an effective player. And, you know, not right away. I think that, but if you can, you know, too many teams go out and draft guys and throw them in right away, and that's usually a bad team with a bad offensive line. And guys never have a chance to develop. And I think in the right cases where you don't have to do that, then you're better off. And in this case, if he lands someplace, like I said Pittsburgh, I don't mind. But if he were to wind up in Tampa, someplace like that where we don't even talk about him for 2 years, that's probably a good place for him. So I was going to ask, did you see your buddy Josh Ennis had Rich Lord on his podcast?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, apparently Rich was unloaded on the Texans quite a bit. So might be fun to have Josh on at some point and talk about that and some other stuff and see what he's up to. But yeah, that was apparently Rich went off a little bit.
Well, I would say I'm interested, but I'm not that interested in Rich.
Not interested in Rich, really, but, you know. thought, but it is cool that was kind of cool.
It is cool that those two guys have, you know, figured out whatever their issue is and moved on from it.
Yeah. And I think probably being out of work for a while can be humbling a little bit, maybe, for Rich. But, yeah. George asked, do you see the love everybody else has for Jordan Love? I don't see it. I think he's intriguing. That's another guy that, to me, has to land in the right place. If he's a guy you plan on drafting and starting right away, good luck.
Right.
But if he lands someplace where, you know, there's a veteran quarterback that is still pretty good and he doesn't have to play right away, then I could see him developing into something. All right, one last segment to go. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. And a great song choice there, Nick. I haven't heard that in forever. All right, let's wrap up the show the way we do every Tuesday with a little Hey Man Bleep That. And we'll let Nick Sharara lead it off today.
I go first. Cool.
Yeah, you get to go first.
All right, cool. So I will start with a restaurant in the Tampa Bay area. Obviously, restaurants and bars in this pandemic are struggling to keep a lot of their employees on staff. And Suzanne and Roger Perry, who have several of small businesses in the Tampa area, have made the decision to lay off many of their employees, and for them to stay in business, they realized that they could essentially resort to a $20,000 bottle of whiskey. Now, it says that the bottle retails at $1,800. Suzanne and Roger Perry decided to put it up on the internet, and they got $20,000, but no worries, they had a 15% discount in the event you purchased it online. But for me, I'm really proud of the veteran who made the donation to help them stay in business, but I'm not paying $20,000 for any bottle of whiskey.
Hey, man, f*** that.
All right. I'll go next. This one, and I'm sure you guys have been getting these emails about from all these businesses. We're here to support you during COVID-19. My favorite is the one from credit cards, or if you have a loan somewhere. We're here to support you. Just to let you know, you can pay your bills online. Yeah, just sign up for our online service to make sure you keep your bills current. Thanks for the support, you greedy-ass dickweeds.
Well, listen, they reminded you.
Well,
you don't want your credit to go awry during these terrible times. You might need that credit.
Well, to be honest, I had one credit card. I've only got a couple, but I had one that said you can defer your payments, which was pretty cool. But the other ones are all like, not only are they trying to remind you that you can get online and do it, but hey, go ahead and pay now. Don't wait for your due date. To that I say,
hey man, f*** that.
I saw a messed up story today that zoos in Germany are running out of money. And a zoo director in northern Germany, in Verena Kaspari, that's the New Munster Zoo's Verena Kaspari, said that the zoos may have to consider feeding animals to other animals to keep them alive. The Berlin Zoo has infant panda twins, but their fans can only watch them online, so obviously people can't come in. But they're saying that some of these animals, it would be a last resort, but the seals and the penguins, they need big quantities of fresh fish daily. And if it comes to it, I'll have to euthanize animals rather than let them starve. At the worst, we would have to feed some of the animals to each other. So it's a the zoo belongs to an association which is not covered by the state emergency fund for small businesses. She estimates the zoo's loss of this of income this spring will be about 175,000 euros. And obviously they're appealing for public donations, but you know, it's going to be hard for them to cover everything without having people in the zoos. Animals still have to be fed daily and looked after, obviously, while a tropical enclosure has to be heated above 20 degrees Celsius. So it's costing them a lot to run, and there's no money coming in. But the fact that they're saying they may start feeding animals to each other tells you how crazy this stuff is. So to that, I say,
hey, man, f*** that.
How do you pick which animals are getting fed to which other animals?
Well, here's my thought. If it's a seal eating a bunch of fish, I'm feeding that seal to a polar bear.
So you could save some fish?
And maybe it's because I've been watching that polar bear town, and now I'm in love with polar bears.
Well, now what we could do is have, like, have battles. Okay, you want to see a battle between a grizzly bear and a hippopotamus? Let's do it. Let's see what happens. You want to see a tiger versus a polar bear? Let's get it on.
How about this? How about a one-day free-for-all? You just let them all loose in the zoo, and the ones that eat the others and survive, they get to live.
It's like the Purge.
Yeah, it'd be a perfect way to do it, right? You know, okay, seal, you probably don't have much of a chance, sorry. But, you know, then you find out maybe a hippo and a polar bear do fight. Maybe, you know, I think we'd see some great matchups. Like wolves versus, you know, giraffes.
That's not a great matchup.
No, I think it's a great matchup because those giraffes can kick the crap out of you.
Yeah, I don't know.
They can send a wolf flying 30 feet easy.
Really?
But yeah, but if there's like five of them, much more, it's a much better battle. That I like.
Well,
this.
The problem is if the giraffe wins, he doesn't get a reward because he doesn't get to eat the wolf. I think it has to be meat eater versus meat eater.
No, but you put him out there because if he gets rid of all of them, then you just give him extra leaves. Congratulations on your win. I like this. You could even have an animal bracket. I mean, because we didn't have March Madness, right?
Right.
Well, they tell us 64 animals that are going to be released. They seed them, and we fill out brackets and see who wins in the end.
Yeah, I don't know.
What? That doesn't sound fun to you?
I mean, it sounds fun. It's just kind of sad to think about.
Oh, no. We can't be sad. Because, listen, we can't do anything about this. It's just like they are in the wild. If they can't afford to feed the animals, it's got to come down to something.
It goes back to nature.
Right. And you know what? How about this? I'm gonna make this even better. You get to fill out a bracket, but you have to donate to the zoo. So whoever survives, they're going to get fed. How about that?
I got one more secondary hey man bleep that.
Okay.
Adam Silver, Rob Manfred, Roger Goodell, Gary Bettman, Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, Dana White, and Vince McMahon are part of a large group that will help advise on how to restart the economy, President Trump says. So Trump is going to not listen to health experts and not listen to economists, but instead listen to a bunch of billionaire sports guys. Come on, man. This is insane.
If you're gonna put billionaire sports guys on that list, shouldn't Mark Cuban be on there?
Well, Trump's not going to listen to him.
No, I know. But all right. Well, apparently there's music. Man, another great quick show. Great job, Hoffman. Dude, you were on it today. Nick Sciarra, always a pleasure, my man. You were fantastic. I was above average today for me, which is huge. So we'll do it again tomorrow. Everybody have fun this evening. Until then, stay Rona free, bitches.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.